Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What did 19th century leaders in the LDS Church say about the Bible? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me to discuss this question is my colleague Eric Johnson. We have been spending the past several broadcasts looking at the Journal of Discourses, giving you a little bit of a glimpse into a 19th century context of the LDS Church. And we're asking the question, why is it that back in 1963, the Mormon Church actually published an ad encouraging members of the Mormon Church to buy a copy of the Journal of Discourses, but yet today when you bring up the Journal of Discourses, a lot of Latter-day Saints, if they even know what you're talking about, certainly do not look at the journal as being some sort of authoritative set of instructions, even though many of those sermons that are found in the journal are from Brigham Young himself, the second president of the Mormon Church. Today we're looking at the topic of the Bible. Now, if you've ever talked to Latter-day Saints for any amount of time, you will probably know that whenever you bring up a lot of Bible verses, that it's not uncommon for a Latter-day Saint to tell you that, well, there's a possibility that that verse can be corrupted or it wasn't translated correctly. And they'll also say things like, well, you do know, of course, that many plain and precious things were purposely left out of the Bible. Now, of course, that is what we call a typical argument from silence. The only way the Mormon can prove that something has been left out of our Bible is if they could show evidence from some other source that whatever they think has been removed was there in the first place. And of course, they can't. They don't provide anything. It only goes back to what their leaders, particularly Joseph Smith especially, had to say on the subject. When we look at the Journal of Discourses, though, you might be surprised to know that Brigham Young actually spoke quite favorably of the Bible on more than one occasion.
Well, I know that shocked me when I was looking through these, because I would have expected a lot more negative toward the Bible. Listen to what he says in Volume 1 on page 38. He said this on July 11, 1852. He's talking about comparing the Book of Mormon and the Bible. And he says, if he has the privilege of reading it or of hearing it read and learning its doctrines, there is not that person on the face of the earth who has had the privilege of learning the gospel of Jesus Christ from these two books that can say that one is true and the other is false. No Latter-day Saint, no man or woman can say that the Book of Mormon is true and at the same time say that the Bible is untrue. If one be true, both are, and if one be false, both are false. How many times, Bill, have you been told by a Latter-day Saint that you need to go to the Book of Mormon to get the truth and the Bible?
Robert L. Millett, a BYU professor, right now, not too terribly long ago, said that that's how you understand the Bible is by going to the Book of Mormon. And other leaders have, well, he's not a leader, but other authoritative figures have also given that impression. You go to the Book of Mormon first, but that isn't what Brigham Young taught.
No, not at all.
Here I'm quoting from the Journal of Discourses. This is Volume 9. This is found on page 297. It was a talk that Brigham Young gave in the Tabernacle on May 25th, 1862. He said this, "With us, the Bible is the first book. The Book of Mormon comes next, then the revelations in the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, then the teachings of the living oracles. Yet you will find in the end that the living oracles of God have to take all things of heaven and earth, above and beneath, and bring them together and devote them to God and sanctify and purify them and prepare them to enter into the kingdom of heaven." That certainly is not what we remember hearing on February 26, 1980, when Ezra Taft Benson gave his famous, or infamous, depending on which way you look at it, his famous 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet speech. In point number two, he made it very clear that the living oracles were more important than the standard works. And of course, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price are those standard works. Brigham Young here is saying, with us, the Bible is the first book. The Book of Mormon comes next. Yet, didn't Joseph Smith teach that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth? This seems like a contradiction to me. It seems like these prophets of the Mormon Church can't get the same memo. I mean, you've got Brigham Young saying one thing, you've got Ezra Taft Benson saying the other thing. Now, what do most Mormons follow, though? They follow what we call a Mormon version of the doctrine of abrogation. And what we mean by that, folks, is when a current Mormon leader teaches something, if it conflicts with what was taught by a Mormon leader of the past, you take the teaching of the current leader over the teaching of the past leader. It's very similar to what is done in Islam. Well, Mormons have their own doctrine of abrogation, and this is why it can be very confusing when you're looking at Mormon history and some of the things that were taught back in the 19th century and comparing them with what is actually being taught today. We have Brigham Young making this statement. This is found in volume 14, page 200. This is a talk that Brigham Young gave on June 3rd, 1871. He says, "The doctrine that we preach is the doctrine of the Bible. It is the doctrine the Lord has revealed for the salvation of the children of men. And when men who have once obeyed it deny it, they deny it with their eyes wide open. And knowing that they deny the truth and set at naught the counsels of the Almighty."
Now, we have more than just these few quotes we're giving here. If you want to go to the website, mrm.org/journalgems, with a G-E-M-S, you can hear more or see more of what we're talking about. But volume 16, added to what you just said, on May 18th, 1873, on page 46, he said, "Take up the Bible, compare the religion of the Latter-day Saints, and see if it will stand the test." He was willing to go out on a limb and say, take this Bible and see if it is going to compare, because we believe the Bible is accurate. And like I said, we have other quotes here. We're not going to be able to get to all of them today, but just to let you know, Brigham Young firmly believed that the Bible corresponded with the teachings that he gave and felt that it was telling the truth.
Yeah, now that's not to say that he didn't believe that there were errors in it. He certainly does talk about that occasionally. But we don't find in the Journal of Discourses this constant reference to Article 8 in the Articles of Faith that says that they believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly. It's not that it's ignored. You just don't see it being referenced quite often.
Bill, let me give you a quote from Brigham Young that would be interesting based on what we're saying. Here we are commending him for all the nice things he's saying about the Bible. But this is what he says on October 8, 1854. I'm flabbergasted to see what he says. "I think," he says, "these preliminaries will satisfy me, and I feel prepared to take my text. It is the words of Jesus Christ, but where they are in the Bible, I cannot tell you now, for I have not taken pains to look at them. I have had so much to do that I have not read the Bible for many years. I used to be a Bible student. I used to read and study it, but did not understand the spirit and meaning of it." Now, he says this in the Essential Brigham Young, pages 87 through page 90. For somebody who has such good things to say about the Bible and how authoritative it is, he's like many in the 21st century. Even though this is the 19th century, they didn't have any more time, apparently. He had business. He had lots of things that he had going on. And what ends up happening is the Bible gets relegated to the back. And he admits that he hadn't read it for many years. That's something for somebody who's supposed to be leading a church who says the Bible is authoritative to admit to.
So what I'm getting from what you're saying is that the reason, perhaps, that Brigham Young thought there was no large discrepancy is because he didn't even know what the Bible had to say in the first place.
And so
he certainly wasn't a Bible scholar.
Well, you know, and he has a lot of things. Not everything is positive, as you mentioned. For instance, in Volume 2, on page 6, October 23rd, 1853, he called the creation of Adam a quote-unquote baby story. Mm-hmm. And so when things didn't go his way with it, he would minimize it, just like a lot of people do today. Whatever doesn't agree with their major philosophy, their doctrines, then that can't be true. And that's what we find with so many Latter-day Saints. When we're talking about the Bible and we bring out a passage that disagrees with what they believe, how many times have I heard, "Well, I don't know if that was translated correctly," right off the bat, without even looking it up, without going to the inspired version with Joseph Smith, who put the Bible together and finished it in
1833,
History of the Church, Volume 1, page 368. Very clearly says he finished that. That's a whole nother broadcast. But this is something that is very similar. The way that Mormons do this today is how Brigham Young would do it as well.
And there certainly is a mixed message when it comes to the Bible during the 19th century. You have Orson Pratt, who was a Mormon apostle during the time of Brigham Young. Now, this is not found in the Journal of Discourses. This is actually the divine authenticity of the Book of Mormon. But Orson Pratt said, "Can we rely upon it, speaking of the Bible, in its present known corrupted state as being a faithful record of God's word?" That doesn't sound like the glowing report that Brigham Young was given. But we have Orson Pratt going on to say, "What few have come down to our day have been mutilated, changed, and corrupted in such a shameful manner that no two manuscripts agree. Verses and even whole chapters have been added by unknown persons, and even we do not know the authors of some whole books. And we are not certain that all those which we do know were written by inspiration. Add all this imperfection to the uncertainty of the translation, and who in his right mind could for one moment suppose the Bible in its present form to be a perfect guide? Who knows that even one verse of the Bible has escaped pollution so as to convey the same sense now that it did in the original? Who knows how many important doctrines and ordinances necessary to salvation may be buried in oblivion in some of the lost books? Who knows that even the ordinances and doctrine that seem to be set forth in the present English Bible are anything like the original? The Catholics and Protestants do not know because tradition is too imperfect to give this knowledge. There can be no certainty as to the contents of the inspired writings until God shall inspire someone to rewrite all those books over again as he did Esdras in ancient times. There is no possible means of arriving at certainty in any other way. No reflecting man can deny the necessity of such a new revelation." But yet Joseph Smith did that, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
He gave them the inspired version of the Bible.
Much different than Volume 5, page 91. Heber C. Kimball says, "We believe every word of the Bible." So much different.
Yeah. What does that mean? You really need to ask them to define their terms, because if you say you really do believe it, then why do you say things like this as well?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.